and Lubeck. we might have been on the air. We're not sure. We were playing the anthem of Kashmir, Azad Kashmir. This is the area, just to be clear, of the it's called Pakistan-administered Kashmir. And then there is India-administered Kashmir. And this is where the dispute is. That entity was supposed to have had a plebiscite. Certainly, even whatever the language, whatever the legal, et cetera, the history, people have the right to self-determination. And there was a formula. It was requested by Nehru himself. He agreed with the formula, but that has been put by the boards. And anyway, we were very glad we could have the president of Kashmir, Azad Kashmir, with us. This is the Taylor Report, and it is CIOT 89.5 FM. I want to say, Phil Conlon is here. How are you doing, Phil?
Hi, Phil. Yeah.
We've had this matter of Chrystia Freeland's tweet, and then we've had the response to the tweet of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. I'm struck by how it's all going, and I think it needs a little more of a, what I'd call a pedestrian analysis, like what the heck is this all about? Starting with the prime minister, he waited 3 days before he and his aides decided the smartest thing to do. And then he said that candidates of the – will always stand for – values. And then the Toronto Star ran a front page picture of him looking kind of gimlet-eyed, if that's the expression. And they said he didn't blink. Well, I agree. Not in the picture, he didn't appear to be in a blinking mode. But however, I noticed he didn't tweet anything. I haven't seen anybody repeat the tweet that I'm aware of. No one has said, oh, no, we meant that. What they said was, we stand by values and we will speak up. And you say, well, you did. You want to do that again? Because everybody's waiting. I think it shows that we're having a little problem of who's running the ship. And I saw this silly thing from Bob Ray where he said, first thing someone said is, well, the U.S. didn't say anything. They didn't run to Ottawa's side. Which I don't think any Canadian would be surprised. It didn't appear to be interested in running to us previous. And then the UK didn't, Miss May didn't say anything. And, of course, everybody here who runs the country, they don't want Corbyn, so nobody wanted him to run to our side. And then, well, going back to Bob Ray, he said, oh, thanks, guys, for letting us down. Well, if you go into a... You got a friend and you go, he's small, and you go into a place where they're big guys and he slugs one of them and then he gets beaten up. He doesn't get to say to you, thanks, because he didn't tell you he was going to do that. That's the way it works. So for him to say, thanks, guys, I'd say, hasn't he been in politics a while? He says, our friends. Saudi's your friend, and I want you to wear that. They're your friends. You sold them weapons, which they're using happily. And by the way, I don't care if you stand with your hands in your pockets and say, no, I only sold him police gear. He can bomb Yemen all he wants. You sold stuff, $15 billion worth, so that he could blast people. He is blasting people. Doesn't need your stuff to do it, by the way. He said, I was into the Saudis, said, we don't really need to buy this stuff from him. We did him a favor, which I think... That's kind of humiliating. I didn't hear the prime minister say, no, that wasn't a favor. That was a big business deal. So we need to be a little more frank about what's going on around here. Everybody in Ottawa, in Washington, in London likes Saudi Arabia. That's a pal. If they haven't noticed, they tried to destroy Syria, tried to destroy it, and Saudi Arabia is Canada's ally in trying to destroy it. They cut off, they sanctioned Syria. Syria is a republic. It's not a monarchy. The women already have rights in Syria, thank you very much. Everybody was happy to have them as an ally. Saudi Arabia's been paying most of the money to the killers. They invaded the country. You can't fight from 2011 to 2018 without a bankroll that has to come from sheikhs and kings and the United Arab Emirates and all these people, these powers. They pay the bills. They hire these guys, and they run a rat line into Syria through Turkey, and now our prime minister and liberal Democrats in the U.S. act like they haven't all been together. They were all together in this, worked very tightly. So this is an ally that you chose to step on its toe. I don't mind. By the way, I think it's very enjoyable. I think that what this shows is that they failed. Their little humanitarian intervention express has had a flat tire. It has broken down. And now members of the crew are starting to attack each other. Somebody in the Foreign Ministry of Canada to attack the allies, Saudi Arabia, these guys have been involved and are involved in violent enterprises. Their planes, their war planes, are flying all over the place. And it has been one common effort. Canada has not taken the side of Yemen. Canada is standing with his hands in his pockets while Yemen is being blasted to smithereens. And there's no tweet about that. This was a human interest tweet. We have a Canadian who's married to a Saudi, and the Saudi's in jail. Therefore, we get to tell you what you should do. Well, of course, when the Saudis saw that, all they wanted to know, they probably called Washington. They said, you know this guy? What's he doing sending me messages like that? And they said to him, don't look at me. So that's what I mean about the wheels are coming off. When they started this big enterprise to destroy Syria, Turkey and Saudi Arabia were the leaders in the area. And Canada's been involved from day one, favoring it. To this day, Canada's doing its best to destroy Syria, a sovereign country, a member of the United Nations. But they've been selling everybody a bill of goods about reformers. I don't know what they were, but they became clearly what they are, mercenaries, extremely reactionary politics. A counter-revolutionary people, if you want to use that kind of language. They intended to establish a government in rather like the Taliban type, something of that stripe. And Canada couldn't have been happier. And Israel couldn't have been happier. By the way, there's another ally. You see, Israel's been making nice with Saudi Arabia. And we don't talk about it a lot, but all these guys were working together. As the Syrian army has succeeded, you know, this is the old thing that the man says, you know, when the tide goes out, you find out who's been swimming naked. All of a sudden, to get the little group called the White Helmets out of a little corner they were in Syria, you had to get the help of Israel, which did it. Did a big favor, as Netanyahu said, I'm doing you a favor. And he takes them into Israel, then he takes them to Jordan. And this was all cooperation. So what we're seeing is the breakup of this exercise of regime change run out of Washington. I thought, when I first saw it, I thought this was probably caused by the liberal Democrats in the U.S. Chrystia Freeland is very tight with Susan Rice and Samantha Power. And now that they're not in office, they think that they don't like Saudi Arabia. When they were in office, they kissed up. But now they're out, they say, oh, we shouldn't really be associated. I remember when Trump was out, when Trump was running for president, he said the Saudis should not be protected from lawsuits by American citizens who lost loved ones at 9/11. He was asked, and he said, no, they should be vulnerable. They should be. So then he gets in office, and he flies over, and he and the king put their hand on the magic ball and light the place up. You remember that? And so then he takes on the job of bowing. Americans watch any American president who visits the king of Saudi Arabia. They say, oh, I think he's bowing. So when the Republicans are out, they said, Obama's bowing. So now It's the Democrats out, and now they say Trump's bowing. But they all do it. They're all in. And I can understand the sensibilities of the king, who must get a little tired of this exercise. But probably what got his attention was a middle power tells him where to get off, or seemed to think they were going to tell him where to get off. If the prime minister did not blink, I want him to repeat the message. We call on the government of Saudi Arabia to immediately release. I want him to send that one again. I want to see what happens. I don't think it's going to happen. I know we have Canadian values, and I know that we stand up for that wherever we are in the world, unless it's the people of Gaza, or it could be Leonard Peltier. Canada gave Leonard Peltier to the United States on phony evidence, and they never asked for him back. He's still in prison, an indigenous leader, one of the heroic great indigenous leaders of this continent and hemisphere. So he's rotting in a prison in Florida, and everybody thinks that's funny. There's no tweet from the people with the values about him. And, of course, in Guantanamo, you have people who have been there how many years without
– 17.
17 years without a trial, without any court, no nothing. It's on Cuban soil that they have been waterboarded. Trump thought that was funny. Obama and Bush did it. They allowed that to happen. They call it enhanced interrogation. No tweets. Not a one. We've been waiting. Nope, no tweet. But we have these values. Baloney. All this was, in my opinion, I think she just thought, well, I'm going to help the Democrats by joining the little chorus of liberals and say nasty things about them. And they won't do anything, surely. Well, yes, they will, surely. They decided to do it. Same with Turkey. Turkey is not run by a sweet guy. But if you kick him around, he's not going to take that. And if you think you're going to patronize him, he ain't going to take that either. It's interesting to watch the regime change game, which was based on American hegemony, world hegemony. Now the pieces are coming off. Turkey is infuriated. Saudi Arabia, I wouldn't know what they might do if if the U.S. were to agree with this stuff, give them a hard time, they could take a walk. They don't have to put up with that. And I remind you, they're an ally. They actually are. We've all been working together, Canada, U.S., and Saudi Arabia, trying to destroy Syria. And Bob Ray has a favorite topic. That's the Rohingya. The loudest voice at the United Nations on behalf of the Rohingya is Saudi Arabia. Their representative at the UN is the champion of that cause, Bob. If you're looking for a job, they make more noise than he does, a lot more noise. And they know all the rules because many of the leaders are in their country. The people who they consider the best leaders live in Saudi Arabia. So there's a lot of dishonesty. I don't think Israel is very happy to see this happen because they've been developing. We were told it was going to become a public marriage. They were going to come out together and say, well, actually we are good pals. Doesn't seem to be as likely now. I'm getting the impression that might be off. But this didn't help. I'm just talking real politics. I'm not interested in the kind that talks about values and all that stuff because that's total phony laughingstock hypocrisy, and they take it down the street. You're a member of a gang. Canada's a member. And they decided to kick another member of the gang in the butt. And that gang member looked at the boss and said, I'm not going to take that off him. And whack. So that's where we are. And so are we all going to remember gang members together? I don't think so, but I think the gang is going to come apart and the world is going to be very, very happy to watch. This has been the Taylor Report. And, of course, we have to thank Febby and Phil Condon. We'll see you next week.